Good morning, listeners, and you're welcome to this week's Farm Focus. I'm Jim Finn. Now, later on in the programme, I will be talking to the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnellogue, TD. But my first guest this morning is Catherine Egan, and Catherine is with Chagas here in the county, and she's with me to talk about all matters that pertain to grass production at the moment. Good morning, Catherine, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning, Jim, and thanks very much for having me on your show.
Now, Catherine, it's been a difficult spring. Normal years we would have had, we'd be on the second rotation, and maybe some farmers might be a bit ahead of that as far as grazing is would be concerned. So that's been delayed, and there has been very little grazing probably taken place to date. So what's your advice to these farmers who are having problems?
Yes, Jim, it has been a very difficult spring, and the poor weather conditions has led to it being very challenging grazing this spring. I suppose from what you mentioned there, it has been very slow to get stock out to grass, and particularly in the last few weeks, really stock have started to be turned out on some farms. I suppose on other farms, you touched on it there, maybe lighter stock were turned out earlier, and then they had to be rehoused maybe for a week or two when the weather conditions changed. And until weather improved, then they were turned back out again. But it's really the same in every situation across the country. There hasn't been any difference really from county to county. It has been slow for grass to grow. We're seeing even in the last week a lot of ground frost at night, and growth conditions are very low. And particularly this week, the figures from Pasture Base Ireland are showing 35 kilos of growth, dry matter per hectare in County Clare. But with the weather predictions that's coming in the coming week, we'd hope this to increase to 57 kilos. So things are about to turn around, in particular with the temperatures that's coming. Hopefully, Jim, we'll be out of this situation in the next week or 10 days.
Yeah, and I've been talking to farmers during the past week, and some of them are particularly tight on grass, and they've had to maybe bring animals in at night time and give them a little bit of supplementary feeding with bales of silage if they had it left.
Yes, and that has happened on a lot of farms, and feeding silage and maybe supplemented with concentrates. And I suppose the big push at the moment is trying to hold that rotation where you mentioned where we should be really into the second rotation now, but the paddocks that were grazed first, the covers aren't back where we'd like them to be. So the main advice would be to try and hold covers there for 20 to 22 days. And in order to do that, silage has to be fed or concentrates or some stock rehoused to try reduce demand on farms, and in order for the grass growth to try meet demand on farms.
And Catherine, most farms may have some slurry or fertiliser applied, but what should farmers be considering with regard to fertiliser at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. Some farmers will have slurry applied or fertiliser. I suppose the key points at the moment now will be a focus on phosphorus, because that's important at this time of the year to push on grass growth, and particularly sulphur in order to improve the efficiency of nitrogen. So a compound fertiliser would be ideal at the moment, Jim. NPK plus sulphur products, a bag and a bag and a half, depending on the stock rate of the farm, what's their demand for grass at the moment, and depending on what their nutrient management plan will allow.
Right, and what about a farmer, you know, who has some of the paddocks that could still take some slurry on them? Should they go, should the farmer go out with whatever slurry is left in his tanks?
Yeah, ideally if there is slurry on the farm, 1,000 gallons of slurry will be equivalent to 6 units of nitrogen, 5 units of phosphorus and 30 units of K. So it really is an important source of N, P and K on the farm. And ideally we're optimising the amount of nitrogen that's available and the P that's there in the slurry this time of year by getting it out early in the spring in comparison to waiting until the autumn time when maybe there'll be difficult weather conditions. And I suppose it's a key point where a lot of farms may have silage ground closed at the moment, but in order to meet the allocations for silage to be applying slurry.
Right, okay. And yeah, you mentioned there then that farmers would have silage ground closed at the moment. And I presume that we would be expecting that those farmers would have spread their 90 units of nitrogen on that land at this particular stage.
Yeah, I suppose the difficult conditions, grazing and slow growth, Jim, probably allowed people, they may have extended the length of time and delayed closing on some of the silage ground in order to relieve some of the pressure on farm and to allow some grass growth back on some of the first paddocks that they closed. So in some cases, the silage ground may have been delayed closing. But you're right, ideally, we would have been looking for between 80 and 90, up to 100 units of nitrogen, depending on the sward type, whether it was reseeded or permanent pasture. And then P, about 25 units, and K, depending on the soil fertility, a maximum of 80 to 90 units at the moment, and then top it up after the first cut. And really, by applying the recommended rates of the fertiliser, the farmer is ensuring that they're getting the maximum yield from the first cut of silage, where adequate P and K or nitrogen isn't applied for the silage crop, will be reducing the yield. And then we'll see issues crop up in May, maybe when farmers are walking the crop, the yield isn't in it. It'll be let grow on maybe for a week or two to try bulk up, and then that's hampering on the quality of the silage that we'll be making, and reduce will cause an increase in cost next winter with the quality of silage.
And Catherine, a farmer who is in that situation and that grass growth, you know, he's only up to maybe 2-2.5 inches at the moment. Could that farmer go out and top it up with maybe one bag or a half bag of urea?
Yeah, I suppose you're looking really from the nitrogen point of view that you mentioned, Jim. You're looking at each day, it takes up 2 units a day.
Yeah.
So depending on when the crop was closed and what is the target cutting date or harvesting date for that crop, like going out with a lot of fertilizer maybe at this stage, depending on what the date for harvest or predicted harvest date will be, you're only allowing the 2 units per day in it. A result to avoid nitrogen being in the crop when it comes to cutting it.
You want to be careful with topping up the nitrogen at the moment. So stick to the plan, really, that you had at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, ideally, and depending on when it was closed, like if it has only been closed, then it depends on when you're going to be cutting it. That's what will come back to relay.
Okay. Well, something that has come up quite a bit in the last number of years, particularly with Chagas advisors like yourself, Catherine, and that is this battle between quality and quantity.
Yeah, most definitely, Jim. I suppose the quality and quantity debate has been there for many years, and really what you're looking at is what is the requirement of your herd for the coming winter. So where there's suckler cows and dry cows being kept over the winter period, you're looking at between 68, maybe 70 DMD, so lower than 70 DMD quality. But on the turn of that, if there's weanings or finishing stock being kept over the farm, over the winter on the farm, you're looking at greater than 70 DMD. And you're trying to reduce the cost over the winter period. For example, if you're feeding over 70 DMD silage versus lower quality, say 60 DMD silage, there can be a difference there of feeding 1 kilo of meal per head per day to a weanling versus 3 kilos of the poor of concentrates of to the poor quality silage. And this can increase cost over the winter because our target will be to gain 60 or 80 kilos on these weanlings over the winter. And if we're having to supplement the poor quality silage with additional concentrates for the average, say, 20 suckler cow herd, if there's 20 weanlings being kept over the winter, that can be an extra cost of over €1,500 for the winter just to keep them. And it comes back to the quality of the silage. When we're harvesting the silage, it's going to cost the same amount. So it's important to plan out how much silage is needed for suckler cows and what the quantity and quality of that's needed. And then maybe the surplus bales that's coming off paddocks over the rest of the season, maybe that's more of your better quality silage that might be made in bales and fed back to the weanlings over the winter period.
Okay, Catherine. Now, one last question to you. In the next month, what are the 3 key targets that farmers should be achieving?
I suppose the first one, Jim, will come back to the fertiliser that I mentioned, that now is depending on what your demand is on the farm, what your soil samples have said, really now is the ideal time to get a P compound fertiliser out, so a NPK plus sulphur product out on the farm if it hasn't been applied already. Things will change relatively quickly now once grass starts to push on, and really the target will be to try grow grass in 3 weeks and graze it in 3 days, and that's in order to maintain the quality in the sward and that we're having a green leaf in the sward and achieving the maximum live weight gain we can as cheap as possible from grass. Where stock were turned out earlier in the year, they mightn't have grazed down tight, but it's important that we're grazing now paddocks down to 4 centimetres tight for this rotation and in order to maintain quality for the rest of the year. If we're leaving a lot of grass behind now, or if there was a paddock that wasn't fully grazed out in the spring and there's a lot of stem there, now is the time to get that grazed out tight and target that paddock when the weather is dry and try harder to graze it out tight in order to ensure that the quality is there and that we're really looking at improving the quality of the sward. Like, we're still looking at 85% of the grass being grown for the rest of the grazing season from here on out. And really, it's a quality sward grown in 3 weeks and graze it in 3 days.
Okay, well, look at Catherine, we're out of time. I want to thank you ever so much for joining us this morning. That, listeners, was Catherine Egan from Teagasc. Listeners, my next guest this morning is none other than the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnellogue, TD. And the Minister is joining me this morning to talk about a few things with regard to his department. Good morning, Minister, and thank you ever so much for joining us here this morning.
Good morning, Jim, and good to be with you. Thanks.
Okay, Minister, now there are a few things, I suppose, that the department are doing at the moment, but let's start off with the new REAPS scheme, please.
Yeah, so this is a new pilot environmental scheme, Jim, that I launched in the last week, and it's open for applications up until the 10th of May. And obviously, farm incomes is something that is top priority for me since I've been made Minister for Agriculture just over 6 months ago. And with my ministerial colleague, Michael McGrath, I've secured an 11% increase in the overall agriculture, food, and marine budget this year to support family farm incomes. And we're in a transition period at the moment from the outgoing Common Agricultural Policy to the new one, which means that we were able to continue the schemes from the outgoing CAP, but it also offers the opportunity to run some smaller pilot schemes, which we can help then inform the new Common Agricultural Policy, which will be starting in January 2023. And this environmental pilot scheme is a 10 million euro scheme, which will be open to 2,000 farmers. And I think it's a really farmer-friendly scheme which delivers in terms of delivering environmental outcomes. The two key measures in it is, for example, low input permanent pasture and multi-species sward, as well as hedge infill and the option for optional amount of broadleaf tree planting on verges and on hedges as well. But really importantly, alongside that, it can significantly contribute to farm income. So, for example, it runs between now and December next year. And over that period of about 20 months, there's the opportunity for farmers to draw down a maximum payment of just under 13,000 euro. It's up to a maximum of 6,900 per year. So it's one that offers a really good opportunity to farmers to enhance their income, but also to take up measures which will deliver in terms of biodiversity and environmental objectives too. And I think it's a good reflection of the type of a partnership approach I want to take to meeting our climate ambitions in the time ahead, and to how we can contribute to tackling the biodiversity crisis, where farmers can play a lead role in that. But also it can be a really significant source of income for farmers too. And the learnings from this pilot scheme will then inform the new flagship agri-environmental scheme, which will replace GLAS and AOS and REPS, which were the flagship schemes before that. And the aim is that will be in place for the start of 2023, which is when the new CAP will start off.
And Minister, you must be encouraged by the uptake so far.
Yeah, there has been a very strong response from farmers. I think farmers have looked at it and seen that the scheme is a really practical one from their point of view, one that they can participate in without too much difficulty. It's payable in up to 10 hectares. And as I say, between now and the end of next year, there's the potential for a maximum payment over those 2 years of a cumulative maximum of 13,000 euro. So farmers, I think, see that, and I think also reflected the fact that farmers have played a strong role and on an ongoing basis play a strong role in relation to their protection of the environment, but also are up for participating in schemes like this. They see that this is a practical one and one that's well framed to their needs too. And certainly between now and the 10th of May, I expect a very strong response from it, and then approvals to issue then to farmers shortly after that.
Okay, now, Minister, one thing that the farming organisations have been looking for a number of years is the food omnibusman.
This week, Jim, I have launched the public consultation so that farmers and farm representative organisations and indeed members of the public, consumers and those at various levels of the food supply chain can give their views on how the establishment of a food ombudsman office can be done in a way that is as effective as possible. And really the need for this office comes from the fact that, as you say, for many years now, there has always been a strong sense that that it's really hard for farmers and primary producers in particular to see what's happening in the food supply chain and a real sense of not being able to get a fair crack of the whip in terms of the massive work they do to underpin our national food industry but not getting the income return for that. So that's why I'm setting up this office that will be independent, will have authority, will have powers, will also oversee unfair trading practice rules. And its objective will be to shine a light on the various aspects of the food supply chain in a way that can bring clarity to where the income, the different price margins are going, so that that difference between what farmers are getting and what the consumer pays in the supermarket or before at the very final point, that can be clear. And ultimately, the objective here is to put every bit of pressure on we can and to ensure farmers are getting the best return that they can. So this consultation will now run up until the 26th of May, and I'm expecting a very strong response as well and lots of submissions. And then I will assess those together with the preparatory work that I've had the officials do here within the department, and then come forward with legislation then later on in the year to set up this new office.
Okay, Minister, and that's going to be extremely welcome. As you know, farmers have been looking for that for a number of years. Look, Minister, you come from a fishing county yourself, and of course, fishing along the Western Seaboard is a very, very important industry. So have you anything you would like to say to the fishermen of the West Coast?
Fishing is a really important part of my brief, and obviously coming from Donegal myself as well, we really are at the centre of the national fishing industry, and it plays a really significant role right along the West Coast, right down and along our coast, south coast and east as well. But I know it's really important along the West Coast. It has had the challenge, obviously, and I worked very closely with the fishing sector in terms of Brexit, and there is a challenge there in terms of some quota loss emanating from that. And I worked very closely with fishermen and fishing representatives to try and ensure the sector would be as protected and represented as strongly as possible in those Brexit negotiations. And also, since that, there's now a task force which I've set up which is made up of those within the sector to advise both myself and the government and how we can invest in the sector now over the next period of time to maximise its potential, because fish is a tremendous food, it's a sustainable food, it's one which provides as well significant employment and which we can do really, really well. And there is additional opportunities there to create further employment in terms of how we add value to it, and also in the space of aquaculture as well, for example. So I'm looking forward to that task force reporting to me, and there's a very strong commitment then at government level and cabinet level to follow through in that and invest in it to try and grow it and maximise its value in the time ahead, and to build on what is there and what has been a tremendous traditional asset to this country, and to ensure that it remains that and develops on that base in the years ahead.
Minister, you mentioned task force there in the last few words. Of course, you had the 9th meeting of the Beef Task Force.
Yeah, and it's been carrying out important work, Jim, and I'm keen to see it come to a conclusion now soon. There's been two or three important reports which have been delivered in terms of market specifications and looking at price composition in terms of similar work, as opposed to what the Food Ombudsman Office will be looking at when it's fully established. Importantly here is trying to ensure that in terms of farm incomes and the price that farmers get at farm gate level and from factories, that we do all we can to ensure they are getting a fair crack of the whip and proper payment for the work that they're carrying out. And I look forward now to it concluding, bringing those reports to the table, and also then ensuring that in terms of the engagement between farmers and processors in the time ahead, that there's clarity around specifications, that there's certainty around them as well, and also that we can build a level of transparency, working as well with the Food Ombudsman in terms of that relationship into the future. We've had a challenging times a couple of years ago in relation, or a year and a half ago now, in terms of the factory blockades we would have seen, and that's where the task force would have emanated from. And I want to ensure that the lessons from that are learned and that we build a really resilient beef sector, which ultimately has the need to provide strong incomes for family farms as our central objective.
OK, and one last question, Minister, to you this morning. Climate action and low carbon, that's something that we're going to have to be dealing with over the next number of years. Have you any comment to make on that one, particularly as it applies to agriculture?
Yeah, well, every sector is going to have to play its part in relation to trying to reduce our emissions overall. And obviously, from a farmer's perspective as well, the environment and the climate is more important to a farmer than it is to anyone, because we very much work off the land. Climate events and weather events have an immediate impact on agricultural production. So we have a tremendous track record, obviously nationally, of producing food, not just for ourselves, but for export as well. And that's something that we will be continuing to do into the future. Alongside that, we will have a parallel eye in relation to how we can reduce our emissions and how we can contribute as a sector to addressing biodiversity impacts that we've seen in recent years too. And that's going to be a key focus of policy. It is the particular role of farming is recognised very much in the Climate Action Bill and specified as something that the Climate Action Bill will have to have regard to. But I know farmers are very much up for playing their role, and we recently saw the Foodwise 2030 strategy published, which all farm stakeholders played a strong part in relation to framing, and that outlines as well the commitment of the farming community to playing its part. And certainly I look forward to working with them in the time ahead. And I think the REAP scheme, for example, which we discussed earlier on, is an example of how we can a partnership approach can be taken, whereby farmers continue to lead and deliver environmental goods as well as producing high quality safe food, but also receive a fair income for doing that, and that's a really important thing.
Okay, well, look, Minister, thank you ever so much for joining us this morning. That, listeners, was the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine. That, listeners, is Farm Focus for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join me at the same time next week. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock, and after that, Mike Gardner presents Country Corner.